Consequence Podcast Network.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What, which, this, that, or the other? From Bonnaroo to Coachella, traversing the music festival landscape can be tricky. That's where we come in with high fives for everyone. The What Podcast with Brad, Barry, Lord Taco, dedicated to exploring the entire festival scene.
Brad has worked in the radio industry for more than 20 years and currently lives in Brooklyn, where he is program director for 3 stations, including one in New York, one in Detroit, and one in Miami.
Barry's been a reporter for the Chattanooga Times Free Press, covering all aspects of the entertainment industry since 1987. That's before you were born.
Lord Taco, the smart guy who makes these podcasts on our website at thewhatpodcast.com work, also really good at identifying babies, loves blue-haired moms, PBR, and his beautiful Volkswagen bus.
We all fell in love with the Bonnaroo Festival years ago, not only because of the amazing bands that play there every year, but also because of the incredible community spirit that has developed around it. Radiate positivity.
And we really like talking about the inside baseball stuff when it comes to putting on a huge music festival, so join us.
You can hear the What Podcast on the Consequence Podcast Network or anywhere you find your favorite podcast. Returning to our roots today on the What Podcast, we revisit the Revivalists. The very first ever band we interviewed on the What Podcast comes back to talk about their new single, their new album, Fatherhood, and, of course, Crawfish. It's Mardi Gras on the What Podcast. Barry Corder, Lord Taco, Zach from the Revivalists. I'm Brad. The What Podcast starts right now.
You're always trying to do your best. Don't worry about what happens next. Cause it never ends. It's just begun. We crash into the setting sun. Together and we'll tell everyone. We radiate. We're done.
Welcome back into the What Podcast. Barry Corder, Lord Taco, and Brad. Welcome in to the home stretch. This feels like the run up to the greatest weekend of our lives. You have an official week count left, Lord Taco. How many weeks are we away from Bonnaroo?
Let me check.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Well, I can't believe you don't know this already. It should be like on that screen behind you at all times.
Somebody knows.
So today, Barry, I've got a very big surprise for you. Not only because our guest is from New Orleans, but also because this is Mardi Gras week. Guys, please hold. I've got something to show you. Here we go.
Oh. I bet he's going down there. What do you think? Since he missed it. Wow, nice.
Happy Mardi Gras.
125 days.
How many days?
125 days.
125 days. There you go. The magical Mardi Gras jacket has been put on. It is officially Mardi Gras season.
That's very nice.
Wow.
That's really nice.
Yeah. So,
and are you going?
Of course. I'm there right now.
No, you're not.
No.
Well, you missed it. You missed it the entire time when you lived there. That's why I'm asking.
No, we did get one solid Mardi Gras in before we came to New York. But, yeah, so in honor of Mardi Gras week, we thought that we would check in with the very first ever artist that we talked to on this podcast from New Orleans, our very own Revivalists.
Nice.
Yeah. So Zach from the Revivalists is going to join us. They've got a brand new album, brand new single. This is my favorite week of the year, Barry. I know it was Bonnaroo for a very long time, but this, I have a goal, 100 pounds of crawfish. 9 days, I'm going to try to eat 100 pounds of crawfish.
I'm fascinated by your addiction to this stuff.
Yeah, Barry, I've been obsessed with New Orleans since I was 19. What I used to do when I was doing nights at a radio station, I found this hit disc. It was called Hit Disc, where it had 35 tracks on. It was the closest thing to our format that you could find. And I would pop it in the CD player, hoping that nobody would notice that I would leave the radio station early, you know, every month or so. And I'd leave at 11. I'd get there by 5 a.m. And by the time that I would wake up, I would see a sign walking around the French Quarter. By the way, I was sleeping in my car because I wasn't making any money. The sign the guy was holding said 5 beers for 1. And I was obsessed from that moment. And that's when I kept coming. That's when I found crawfish for the first time. And I got addicted to crawfish. And I would come back every month on the dot every month until I realized crawfish, you know, they only have a season, right? So you get just to keep coming back over and over. And so then by the time that I got back to Chattanooga, I found crawfish in town on very rare occasions. I would teach all my friends how to eat crawfish. And still to this day, the reason why New Orleans is so important, or the reason why we moved there in the first place, was because of crawfish. And then so long along the way, when we got to New Orleans, even though it was a pandemic, we know this guy, we know that guy, and that's how we met Zach from the Revivalists, who join us now on the What Podcast. Hey, Zach, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Brad, good to see you. I'm great. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm wearing this jacket just for you, Zach. Happy Mardi Gras. Happy Mardi Gras. The last time that I saw you, and by the way, Anne, I hope Anne and the kids are well. The last time I saw you guys, you had just become a father of twins, right? So congratulations, man.
Oh, she's great. The kids are good. We're actually, we're going to pick them up from daycare in a few hours. They do a little, they're a year and a half. I have a year and a half boy, girl twins, and they'll be doing a little parade at 2 this afternoon in the little daycare school. So that should be fun.
Nice.
I guess it's like I'm just learning about this, but apparently the Friday before like the Mardi Gras break, it's like it's a school, New Orleans schools tradition, that all the schools have like an internal parade where they'll like parade around the schools and like all the parents and stuff come. So I'm just learning about this. This will be our first one, and it's a 1-year-old class doing it, so that should be pretty ridiculous and cute. So
yeah, I gotta imagine life is kind of crazy right now.
Yeah, it's. I mean, look, it's. Yeah, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. It is so much work with twins. It is crazy, but it's. There's so much joy, and it's incredible. I think it was a coincidence. Like, we were sitting at the window, and you and your wife were sitting at the table outside, and like our babies are just like waving hello to these random people, and like we were like, then we're like, wait a minute. I know you guys.
The reason I ask about fatherhood is because the new single, which, by the way, oh my God, I hate saying it like this, but this is, I mean, the best work you guys have ever put out. I mean, this is the best Revivalist single I have, at least I've heard. This is.
We're extremely excited about it. Everybody in our band and team is like really amped up about it. I'm super proud of it. I can't wait to put it out in the world.
I wonder if it has any tie into being a father.
It's like, why was it magical? You know, what's the magic dust with this one versus other one? That's the secret question to everything, isn't it?
It might have something to do with what Brad is hinting at is the that I'm a new dad. I have some big dad energy going on. My partner was 1 month pregnant with twins while we wrote this song, Dave and I. I definitely had a fire lit under my ass to come up with something good for the band, and besides my just general desire to want to contribute creatively to the band and in a big way, having that pressure contributed, I think, and getting together with Dave, he was, I think, very sensitive and in sync to what was happening in the background in my mind as well. And we got together and felt like we had something special, and we hammered it out. And I think we came up with something really meaningful to us and hopeful, and hopefully meaningful for a lot of people.
What I love about it the most is that I feel like, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that the Revivalists as a whole, and maybe you even as a songwriter yourself, took this massive leap forward that, I mean, I knew you guys were great before, but this is on another level of great.
Well, thank you. That was a goal. We felt like we could take another step as in our recorded work. We've been bringing the heat live for a long time, and I think we've grown as musicians and as just people, and we brought that to our writing and recording process, I think.
Well, you bring up the live show because you know, that is the thing that you guys are really known for, especially in New Orleans. Yeah. You put something out on, if it's a Revivalist show, it's sold out in 2 minutes, right? How does the live show influence the way that you guys go about putting out, you know, your first album in 5 years?
Yeah. The playing live is what we do best. It's probably the most important attribute of this band is, you know, and it's like sort of built into our name, band name, even the Revivalists. Like, you know, when we started in 2007, it was saying something that we would play our music on instruments with a group of people in a room together at the same time. Like, this is an older way of doing it or something. That's always been our strength. Our Dave as a lead singer, just absolutely like performing almost athletic feats of vocal prowess and like physically like running and jumping across speakers and climbing trusses and stuff. And these are all components of our live show. But then the live musicianship is something that we value as musicians from New Orleans and just musicians in general. Playing live is a primary ingredient of what we do, and we build that into a recording process, in that much of the album is us playing live. It recorded extremely well, mic'd extremely well. We took a lot of time making engineering decisions, making tone decisions, stuff like that. But what it comes down to is it's us playing it together and us performing all the parts. Yeah. So
is that the same way you've done it every time, though? Or do you record the same way every time?
Every song is going to be a little bit different because we're not stuck in any sort of process or way. It's not like we have to record everything live. Like, no. On Kid, for example, there's a lot of ear candy. There's a lot of interesting layers and sounds that that we cooked up, just Dave and I, when we were writing it, with a weird effect, and Dave playing it on a guitar in a quirky, idiosyncratic way that's super interesting, that you're not going to be able to achieve just playing in a room live.
Sure.
So
sure.
There were certain pieces of tracks that we had set up and arrangement work that we had done that we played over on this particular tune. I'm always going back to like Sgt. Pepper and the White Album, or Sgt. Pepper and it's like Sgt. Pepper is the studio masterpiece, and then the White Album is more of a like a played live brilliant approach, and it just depends on the song and we're making those decisions throughout the process and having the conversation throughout the process for every song.
How much of that 5-year layoff, or not layoff, but period between
sort of influence during that time? Are you like, I'd like to, you know, are you making mental notes? I'd like to try this next time we're in the studio, or I like that, you know, or you hear a bit from somebody else, and just also I want to think maybe calmness, you know, now that you've done it, you know, you know, it's the athlete thing, you know, the game slowed down the more I've done it type of thing.
That's exactly right. Calmness, maturity, whatever you want to call it, but I'm less anxious. I could speak to my own experience. I'm less anxious in a recording studio now than I was as a younger man. Like, I remember my heart racing, and you know, some of the tempos were probably too fast on some of those earlier tracks. And I was just like, even just being aware of tempo is something that I wasn't necessarily thinking about when I was 20 years old in the studio. So we've grown as musicians, we've grown as people. Navigating performance anxiety is a very real thing. And we're supportive of one of our bandmates in the studio. We're lifting each other up, trying out different ideas.
I don't remember who it was I interviewed, but I remember it was a band that had been together 10, 15 years. And he said something very interesting. He said, we've been together so long, the conversation is a lot shorter. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to put in the, you know, hey Brad, I appreciate you trying that, but you know, you can cut right through. That sucks. Let's do something else. Or...
kind of. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't have to do the niceties. You know, we've done it. We've been there. We're all friends. Say what's on your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And also it's knowing each other intimately well and knowing when to give them the space to exactly. do their thing. And also knowing how to get what you want sometimes.
I'll get it. So, you know, talk about maturity and, the way that you guys have grown together. Not only have you had kids since the last album, Dave got married. Yes. How much of that is on the album? How much of these other personal things throughout the band are on the new album?
I'm sure that the personal life stuff gets into Dave's writing. He's never shied away from including his personal life. He wrote "Wish I Knew You" about his wife when they were dating. We performed it at his wedding. It was awesome. I gave a hilarious best man speech. I wish you guys could air some video of that, but probably should keep that one.
I heard about. Do you want to recreate? You want to recreate anything?
I will
that?
Say I started by saying that David Shaw is a great friend. He's a great business partner. He's a great leader, and he's a canvas for some terrible tattoos. you gotta cut in a little bit. You gotta dig in a little bit.
Sure.
Left hand.
Yeah, but it's a really, really well sculpted canvas. It's a very well sculpted canvas.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, of course. It's cut. The canvas is absolutely ripped.
So, Barry, I'll tell you a little inside baseball stuff. When I got to New Orleans, I had to run a few stations in New Orleans and some stations in Baton Rouge, and one of the stations was a rock station, obviously. And what I found as soon as I got there was that the soul of the radio station needed to be the Revivalists. You know, there is something that is the heartbeat of that city that the Revivalist taps into. So every song that we played, everything that we did with the brand, everything that we did promotionally, I used the Revivalist as the center because of their brand values and the way that I felt the radio station's brand values should be. And it goes to show you, like, the love and affection that this band has in that city. Now, I bring that up, Zach, because you guys are massively successful elsewhere too, right? So you guys do, you know, Red Rocks. You can sell out New York. What I've always wondered, and you could talk about this maybe more specifically than others, why is it so hard for other New Orleans musicians to break out of New Orleans? In New Orleans, you can be a really big hit. You can do really, really well. I'll use Mutual Friends of Ours, Tank and the Bangas. You get them outside of New Orleans, and things get a little bit more difficult no matter how many Grammy nominations they get.
They are doing well nationally. So
sure.
They're
getting there. But why is it so hard for New Orleans musicians who succeed so much in that city to break through on the national level?
I think it's because New Orleans is not a music industry center, most likely, and that most of the success that people from New Orleans have had and musicians from New Orleans have had has been because they've hit the road and worked outside of the city. Somebody like John Batiste, for example. I think New Orleans it has such a massive amount of talent and live music culture. It's probably because it's not an industry town. Like in the way that a New York or Nashville or LA is. And also New Orleans is it's a small city. It's like 380,000 people. It's relatively small. And that said, this city punches way above its weight class. We have so many good bands, so many incredible musicians. We invented jazz out of this city. I mean,
it's kind of a big deal.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll never forget one of the great musical moments of my life. We're walking down just on a random Saturday night. We're walking down Frenchman and we stumble into the Royal Frenchman Hotel and Barry Taco. Frenchman Street is really like the live music heartbeat of the city outside of the quarter. And the Royal Frenchman's right at the end. And it's a hotel, but in the lobby, there's all these incredible New Orleans musicians who just set up camp and start playing. And one night, I stumbled upon Nicholas Payton. And my jaw hit the ground with how stunning of a show this
was. That's funny
was.
You mentioned him. Literally, I did a 20-minute Peloton yoga session this morning just because and a Nicholas Payton song came on in the thing. I was like, this is lovely. This is so elegant. And I looked at the music. I was like, Nicholas Payton, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's just one of the most amazing musicians I've ever seen. So we're at the Royal Frenchman, and I look at a buddy of mine who's in Tank and the Bangas, and I say, who is this? He says, it's Nicholas Payton. And he stops me. He goes, oh, you don't know Nicholas Payton? Look around this room. The amount of Grammys in this room would shock you. I mean, the amount of musicianship that is around every corner is stunning in this city.
It's a nice culture here. It's supportive. People are generally friendly and encouraging. It's really nice community of people and musicians.
I mean, I think if not to answer for either of you, but if you were to ask me, I would think it's opportunity, exposure. And just what you just said, the culture there. I was having a similar conversation earlier on a radio show about a lineup that a festival just was announced here in town, and the host of the show didn't know anybody. And you know, he's like, "What radio station plays these?" And I'm like, "Well, that's kind of the point, that's not how you find bands anymore, and that's a big part of the festival culture." In my opinion, is the whole discovery element of it. Yeah, that's what I love about it. Zach, what I was
Barry, are you in New York?
No, I'm in Chattanooga.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I'm in Chattanooga. Russ is just outside of Chattanooga in Ringgold. Nice. But that was the conversation is, this guy is a particularly more of an old school top 40s country radio. And, he said, what do you think of this lineup? And I said, I don't know, maybe 30% of them. And he said, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And I said, well, in old years, it would have been a bad thing. But now, to me, it's great because it means I get to discover.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a good attitude.
Well, and that's the festival attitude. And mm-hmm. I think that's the New Orleans attitude,
Yeah.
I think that's the shift in all of music, to be honest. I think nobody's iPad or iPhone playlist, yeah. Spotify playlist is all one genre. Yeah.
I've had this conversation a couple times recently, and it was like, when you would have to buy a CD or buy a record in years past, it was like you were making a decision about your identity in a way, how you spent your money on music. Now with everything being available, I think people are probably less snobbish about the range of music that they listen to. Like, I'm not ashamed to listen to a great songwriter like Taylor Swift or something. Whereas when I was in high school, I wouldn't be caught dead spending money on on a Christina Aguilera or Britney Spears album, identified as like, you know, I'm a guitarist and I'm, you know, I like rock music. I like funk. I like jazz, whatever. But, I think the availability of it, of the internet has shifted the consumption. So we don't like identify with the, you know, what we're listening as quite as much, if that makes sense.
No, 100%. I mean, I was that guy in high school that if it was really, really popular, I hated it. You know, it didn't matter what it was. I mean, I missed out on AC/DC and hair bands and all that because.
And of course, you come back to it later and you're like, you know what? That's great. Actually,
it's a lot. It's just fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just fun. It's just fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did want to point out that Zach, you guys are coming back to Bonnaroo for the first time in a few years. I know that the live show is really important to you, but when you put together, like, I know Jazz Fest is really important, but after Jazz Fest, Bonnaroo's got to be up there because this is
Bonnaroo is a big one. Yeah, that's a big boy fest. That's gonna feel special. This will be our third time playing it. The first time we played it was in 2013. It was a little tent. We drove ourselves. We didn't have any crew. It was just like seven of us in a van. We pulled up like 20 minutes before showtime, and there was just a house sound engineer that showed up like 5 minutes later. It was like, oh wow, you got a lot of inputs. You got a lot of channels here. All right, let's do a quick sound check. And we just rocked it. And it was super special. And then we came back in 2018 and we were on like a main stage with production and we rocked it then. And it's a different experience. And I'm very, very much excited to play the farm again with this new material, which is, like you said, I think the strongest of our career. And it'll be right after the full album gets released that we'll be playing Bonnaroo.
Well, how does that change things when you're going to do a show and you've got material that you've been doing for a couple of years and, you know the audience is digging it, but now you've got all brand new stuff. What's it like?
It's exciting. I'm not worried that like our audience is going to be like, oh no, new songs play. We want to hear the same ones that you guys have been playing your whole careers. I don't think our audience is like that. I think we're hopefully going to be gaining a bunch of new fans as well that come in with this new material. And I think our old fans will welcome the new ones with open arms because it's all about love for the music and.
Yeah, well, as a podcast listener and friend of mine here in New York, Evan reminds me, who is the biggest Revivalist fan that's ever existed. He follows your set lists every time you play a show. You've been playing a lot of these new songs for a while now.
Yeah, we started on our fall tour, we started premiering a lot of the new songs because we couldn't help ourselves. We're too excited.
And weirdly enough, Kid finds its way towards the end of the set.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm telling you, it's going to be a monster. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for the band. I can't wait to see you. I mean, I'll be there on Tuesday. So if you want to join Bayou Beer Garden, I mean, I'm getting off the plane at 1 o'clock and I'm going straight for crawfish. I'm going deep into crawfish. My goal in 9 days, I'm hoping to eat 100 pounds of crawfish. It's all starting at Bayou Beer Garden on Tuesday.
Okay, amazing.
I wanted to bring it back to that. That's what we were talking about when you jumped on, Zach. Brad was trying to explain to me, Mr. Vegetarian, Mr. Prima Donna, Mr., you know, don't touch anything, eats the nastiest things on the planet. Are you a
crawfish guy? I'm the same way. I'm a pescatarian. So I don't eat pork and stuff, but I don't eat mammals, but I will definitely have a mud bug.
Anything
every
with
now
a
then.
Face. That's what,
but it does seem a little cruel though. If we want to get into the ethics of crawfish, burning them alive in with spicy boils is, you know, probably not a good feeling for them. But it's, you know, you got it's yeah. It is what it is.
Whatever, they're the cockroaches of the sea.
Yeah, that time we were at Pesh, I told you, and we had dinner. I was like, I'll eat dumb fish. But I won't eat smart fish. If you're a smart fish, no, I can't eat it.
I don't eat octopus. I won't eat an octopus. Yeah. So you'll be there this Tuesday. I live not far from there at all, so I might see you. Yeah.
I just can't say it enough. I think the song is fantastic. I think it's going to be a massive, massive deal for you guys. The album is great. I just couldn't be happier for you, the whole band, Dave, not only personally with the kids and Dave with the marriage. You guys are just a fantastic, fantastic beacon of New Orleans tradition and culture, and I'm so glad that the city has you. I'm so glad that you guys are back for the first time in 5 years, and hopefully we'll see you at Bonnaroo very soon.
All right. Sounds good, Brad. It's great to see you, man.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Zach from the Rivalist on the What Podcast, Barry Taco. Are you hungry for crawfish yet? You guys want some crawfish?
Still no.
I'm so fascinated by this whole willingness to whatever, disassociate, you know.
Have I ever taught you how to eat crawfish? Because yeah, Taco yeah. knows I've taught everybody, well, I every mean, friend I'll, of I'll mine how to eat crawfish.
I'm not obsessed with them. They're just mud bugs. I mean, No,
you just haven't had good. Yeah. You haven't had a good boil. You haven't
They're
had
the
good
cockroaches
boil.
Of the sea.
I know. But you, Barry, I can tell somebody who hasn't had a great boil by those exact words. They're fine. They're not fine. A great boil will change your life.
Okay. And then I haven't had a great boil.
Do you want to come down to Mardi Gras with me?
Do I need to get a coat just like that? Do I get a coat just like that?
You can. I think you have a coat just like this.
Man, that'd be a lot of fabric. That'd be interesting.
That's you a know, lot of gold.
Liberace did it. I know, you could right? do it too. I'm really excited. I mean this totally honestly. I really do think this album is fantastic. For a radio guy, this song is going to be like as big as Wish I Knew You. And to hear it on the farm is going to be really, really exciting, Barry.
Yep. I love it. I love it too.
Don't miss this show.
It's a big progression for them. I love the sound. It's huge. It's great.
Yeah. Then I said that to Zach. I think there's this incredible, you can I don't know. I'll put it that you use the word progression. I think it's very good. These guys are just getting better and better, and I'm not going to say this to him, but I'm so glad that this album just doesn't sound like another Revivalist album, you know? It really feels like a major, you know, step forward for these guys. The other thing, too, that I didn't bring up, there was a day that I walked in on them at their practice space. So they had this really historic practice space that is kind of nutty, and you would never even know it was a practice space, but a whole bunch of New Orleans musicians uses this practice space. And I walked in on practice one day, and it was like them just ripping AC/DC covers, you know. It was like an hour of them just screwing around, and it was in that moment I was like, God, these guys can literally play anything. To see them make this next step is so exciting. It's so exciting.
It's so funny you say that, because you and I talked at length way back when the Get Back thing came out, and that was one of my favorite Beatle moments in Get Back, was when they were just playing other people's songs.
Right.
It's one of those head cleaning, you know, I don't know. I'm not a musician, but that's what it seemed like to me. It's like a head cleaning exercise and a, you know, they just needed a moment. So I get it. I mean, I've seen it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited. All right, anything else to get to before we wrap up? Anything, the Mardi Gras festivities you want to talk about?
No, other than I think you said it at the beginning of the show. It feels like here we go. I mean, we got the lineup. That was the start of season 6, but mm-hmm. this feels like here we go.
Do you guys want to come to any of the balls with me this weekend?
Go ahead, Taco.
Oh, I love balls.
He teed it up.
Yeah. Save one for me.
The thing about Mardi Gras is, you know, there's parades every day, multiple parades every day. You know, we'll go to, you know, the wife's dancing in the Thursday parade on Mardi Gras Day. I'm going to be in one of the parades on Mardi Gras Day, but through the rest of the week, there are, you know, late night balls, and one ball in particular I will be at for Saturday night. And Barry, I'm dressing like Ziggy Stardust.
You're doing the full makeup, everything.
I'm doing everything. I'm spray painting the hair red.
You're gonna do it.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah, I got the zigzag thing in the face. I got the David Bowie onesie. I've got the female blouse that he wears. I got the whole thing. Oh my god, you should see these platform shoes that I'm wearing. These giant white platform shoes. I'm going all in.
Sounds amazing.
This sounds right up Taco's alley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, he does that role-playing thing with the TikTok. Maybe is that next for you, Ross? You're going to start
Taco,
costume,
you do cosplay on TikTok?
Cosplay, whatever.
Did I know this of you?
What is this?
He does
this
with
the first
make,
I've heard of it.
The things where they change your face and all that. No? I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm not spray painting my hair red.
Well,
Taco, you have a new face.
It's a filter, whatever.
Well, I'm putting on my David Bowie filter this weekend at Mardi Gras, okay. So I can't wait to see you guys. Come on down. Consequence Podcast Network.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.